John,
Merrily.
geez, that took a minute.
Yeah, I don't know.
I
Even the
kept,
sound is different. There's something going
I kept trying to get on, and it would kick me out and take me to my own show.
Well, that's it could be worse, you know.
Yeah, I know, I guess so. I'm like, I'm not trying to do this right now. How are you?
Good. I'm good.
How was your day yesterday?
I
Go
listened
ahead.
to you and Really Charlie yesterday,
Yeah.
and I was good. I really I'm taken back by how much fairy dust you throw at me.
I love you. What are you talking
I
about?
just. You know, I mean, it's I'm not accustomed to that, I guess, but it's hard. I guess you can grow into it, I suppose. But yeah, thank you, thank you, thank
Yeah,
both
I
of you,
think
really.
quite honestly, I think Charlie was so enamored with you and your book because it's awesome, and he's listening to it, so he's not reading it. And obviously, like we said, my book is, a workbook and something that you use, and I mean, obviously, he kept stressing how everybody needed to have that book as well, but the love that was coming out, it was really about God. I just can't get away from that book. And of
Yeah.
course, it gets me all excited again too because I know what's coming. And I said, Charlie, what chapter are you on? And he, I think he said 42, and I'm like,
Yeah,
oh yeah,
42. Yeah.
oh yeah.
Yeah. I think that's when 42, I think, as I recall it, is when Aquinas comes out of the mist on the French Canal barge.
You
And
remember?
he's 22 degrees off the I went back and listened to it
Oh,
to
okay.
hear what it was. And Aquinas is coming and he's 22 degrees off the sun, which is, of course, that's the perihedron positioning for a sun dog. And anyway, it was kind of funny because he screams at me, he hollers at me, "This is the sun dog I'm talking about." And I say, "Close but no cigar." And I'm talking to Thomas Aquinas, for God's sake, coming off the Seine River in Paris.
I
You
know.
know,
I know. I'm telling you, I was thinking about it this morning when I was walking the dogs, and I'm like, it just gets better. It really does. It's already a classic. It just gets better and better every time. I think, it's like you read it and you're just like, oh my God, your emotions are all over the place. And then, I don't know, you kind of settle into it and then you just appreciate the depth of the writing. It's like, how did you do that, John? How?
I don't know. Thank you for saying that, but I don't know. I just a stream of consciousness is all it is. I think that we I you know if I want to expand on what you're saying, I believe that that's why you and I talk as much as, and enjoy each other as much as we do, is because we both, for some reason and sheer cosmic luck, have got the capacity to walk in outside dimensions. And so I caught like I maybe you caught me. We're drifting around on there, like we're a million miles from Earth, like a telescope looking around the cosmos. We spot each other. Wait a minute, hey, wait a minute. I think I know. I think I just what is that? That's a Marilyn. No shit. Wow. Bring it over here. I want to talk to her.
Well, last night, I did my show on authority and leadership. And I was talking about scripture and how God says, I'll give you authority. To the one who endures and does my will, I will give you authority. And it's like, and I'm stressing, this is the authority that we want, because nobody else can give you this kind of authority.
Yeah, good
Because it
point.
can, yeah.
Yeah.
And a gift from God stays. And that's, and I'm telling you, it's like I'm speaking from experience. I'm telling you want the gift. And clearly, I mean, there's my book, but then there's you. There was you that came right up behind me, and there's no way I could have sought you out. No way.
Well, I agree with that, but that's I mean that's sword cuts both ways. It's like when you came along, I was talking to the provost, and all of a sudden I get the president, there you are. And there's a big difference. There's a big difference. So
Weird. Yeah, so.
that's good. That's good. I mean, we're doing good. I mean, we're I don't know. I'm looks like it sounds like is it Charles Perry or really? I mean, really Charlie's show is
That's
Charles
his
Perry.
show, Really Charlie.
Yeah,
Yeah.
no, it sounded to me like you've known him for a while. Yeah.
Charlie and I met on, I thought it was Wisdom, but maybe it is Fireside. I don't know. Now we're forgetting like how far back we go.
Yeah.
But yeah, and he just we kind of just stuck together and we're swimming together in this thing. And yeah, Charlie had me on his show a while back, and then again with a closer look, at the game, and then obviously listening to your book and putting the pieces together, going, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Yeah.
It's
Yeah. Well, if
so
he's listening to Deals, Danger, Destiny, he's picking up how I met you and your power. I mean, I think that should be a hint of what's to come is the curiosity of how much power you've got. And
Well, you know how you're always saying, "Well, my book is just, well, my book is just, but floppy feathers." And it's like, no, John, your book is awesome. It's just, it is absolutely awesome. It's dynamic. It's living. It's inspiring because, you're just living through you. The reader is living through you because we're not going to be doing all these crazy things that you've done and experienced, people that you've met, all that stuff. And the way you tell it is just art.
Well, it's art. It's coming. The way I tell it is I'm a very common man in the middle of some very socially important people. Told from a common man perspective. I mean, it's like I'm a common street tough. That's they're walking with heads of state. And so I view them in that common pedestrian format. And I mean, this is just me. I'm stream of consciousness thinking out loud. But as I hear you say that, I think that's, I'm not saying for or against the book. I'm just saying that that's who I always was. I never was high on the social register. I finally got a good education and so forth. And I was smart enough to make a lot of money, but not because I had station. There was no station. But because I was doing that stuff, I got with people who had high station. And then I realized that, everybody's walking on feet of clay, and that if you're a common, ordinary person, be it male or female, you got nothing to worry about other than just, maintain course and speed, man. Do your deal.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Well, do your deal. That's where it gets confusing. People don't know what their deal is.
Well, that's where you come along, I guess, huh? Yeah. I mean, you cleaned up my act considerably. When you meet Mary Lee, it's like she pours a piece of cheesecloth over your head and pours new stuff in,
Don't know, but it's just rich. It is so rich, and it's something that you want for everyone.
I
You know how when
could tell. I could tell yesterday. I could tell as I was watching Perry's expression as you were talking. I mean, he absolutely hangs on everything you say, and well, as he should. I mean, I'm not speaking down to him. I mean, he was obviously he just you just got a lot of power, Marilyn. You really do. You probably got more power than you realize. But what you say is important, which I think gives you. Puts the responsibility on you to be careful sometimes what you say. I think you always are. You're pretty circumspect, but I think it's hard sometimes. Maybe it's just unnerving to think about the fact that what you say, people are taking to the bank. Everything you say.
No, I hope they do. I hope they do. I hope they take every single word and put it in the Oh gosh, what a gift that would be.
Well,
You know,
I think that's maybe it's slow, but it's happening. I mean, I watched it happen on whatever the channel was on, whatever it is, radio yesterday or something.
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, good for
I
you.
don't
Good
know.
on you. Good on you.
I felt like I don't know. Maybe I didn't watch it again. I usually don't. I just do what I do and then I keep going, but I don't listen, I don't watch. And but in my memory, I'm thinking to myself, I don't know, I'm just super excited about you and talking about, the book. And excited that Charlie was excited about it. Charlie was feeling it. I'm like, yes. And that's how you want this vortex of energy, among all of us, because we all know what's going on. So the moment the gift is given to somebody else and they read the book, they know what's going on, then it's like this love vortex again, and you just like fall in love with it, and you both can talk about it, and nobody else knows what you're talking about. So
Which
it's like
does that
everybody
make it a
gets
curiosity worth chasing, I guess, doesn't it? I hope. Probably does. I mean,
I
are you a
mean,
curiosity? Yeah, I guess you're a curiosity. Sure you are. You have to be.
I don't know. I
Yeah.
don't know. Honestly, I just don't know. But what I do know, what I have been witnessing, side note, is that so many people are talking about frequency and vibration, and the Taurus field and the flower of life and everything's energy and connecting to the dots and blah, 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 all this stuff. And I'm just watching and listening and watching. I'm thinking, but you're still missing the point. You don't understand. You're in a playground again. And you could be there for a very long time because that's all science.
Well, yeah, that kind of underrates them, though.
Not that it's not important, it's that they're missing the point.
Yeah.
Why aren't you focused on love? Love is the answer. Science
Maybe.
is not the answer.
Well, maybe that's part of the problem, is that your solution is so simple and effective that people miss it,
Right.
you know?
Right.
And they're looking for something more complicated, which becomes their own confabulation, I guess. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm seeing like all these books come out with, the occult knowledge or secret knowledge and secret wisdom, and then it's like you just go and go, and you're like, oh my gosh, you could literally do a deep dive into all that stuff and still come up with nothing because you're more knowledgeable. That's great.
You never know who you're talking to, and I blame the media sometimes for I think artificially jacking people up that really don't know what they're talking about. And I'm not talking about your friends here. I'm talking about just if there's a slot to fill, if you've got, if you've got a minute and 30 seconds to fill between two commercials. And you bring somebody on, and you bring on a talking head or a any kind of a voice pop that says something that will incite the ratings, that'll make Nielsen light up. And the information, I mean, this is, I guess that's the problem with the First Amendment. When it's and I, it's unique to this country. People can say anything and get away with it. Other than straight out sedition, they can say anything. And it's incumbent upon people like you and me and everybody else to kind of analyze what the hell's being said. I think Tucker Carlson, for example, he will encourage people to say something that will ring the bell all the way up the street. And then he'll go fishing. Then he'll fly to Alaska and go salmon fishing and see, how the water's churning. And he'll come back and do it again. Now that's a tactic, but it's not information, it's just a tactic. What you're doing
Distraction.
is what you're doing is informative. And it's and you can take what you say to the bank. You can't take what Tucker says. You can't take anywhere other than to the next channel,
No, that's all entertainment.
Yeah, I'm not gonna, I don't want to single him out. I mean, I can say anybody,
Anybody.
It's all the same. It's all the same. It's all hollow. And
It's distraction.
that must
It's
be what.
almost like they're informing us, but they're really not. They're keeping our attention, but they're distracting us from what is real and what is true, what our actual power is. So if you look, at all this stuff, this political stuff that's going on, we could really be listening and focusing and turning the channel and comparing notes and who's what and who can I trust, and you're just consumed with it. And then if you go on to social media and then you see people talking about energy and vibration and Tesla and stoicism and just all that, you're just like, okay, meme after meme after meme, but where the hell is the answer? God dang.
There is no answer.
Right.
There is no answer.
It's frustrating as hell, and I feel like I'm screaming at the rooftops going, people, please. It's love. I mean, I've been saying it for years.
But you see, I mean, think about that a minute. If people, if the controllers of media ratings thought for a moment about whether or not they should use you because you make people happy and you make people's, elevate, that kind of stuff, and you do it in very simple format and you're effective, that's a direct attack on their bottom line.
Right. We can't have that.
Can't have that.
Yeah, I'm the natural remedy.
Right. My God, she'll ruin
That's
us.
right.
Our
That's
stock will
right.
collapse.
You can't put a patent on me. Sorry.
Who is this Mira Lee person?
That's right.
I mean, that's the same thing that Herod did to Christ, assuming Christ was real at all. He got the word that this guy was around town and he said, he started killing the babies. He was, anything. I don't need an attack on my empire by this
Right.
guy. Well, you've got the same problem.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Well,
I
sure.
mean, I feel like it's not a following, it's a release. I'm going to give you the key so you can get out of this cage that you're living in. You don't have to come with me. You just get yourself out of the cage.
Well, I think that's very noble of you, and I think that's true. That's true because you're not trying to capture anybody. You don't have, there's no backside to your story. It's just make yourself happy with Merrily and good luck. Which is nice. Once again, no capture, no bottom line. How do we monetize this woman? How do we mon what, call Jamie Dimon at Chase and see what he wants us to do. It's a quarterly report. We got a quarterly report coming up right now. And if we
Right.
pick up Mira Lee, we're going to tank. The stockholders are going to just ship bricks. What are we going to do? As Mira Lee takes down the entire monetary system because her message is so wonderful and simple. But you know what? I'm telling the truth. That's exactly what would happen. The whole system would collapse based on your story because they don't need it. All this stuff that we hang on ourselves isn't necessary if we follow your belief system, your knowledge, your insight. And of course, I'm the worst case example because I came crawling out of the money pot, and then I put on a hair shirt and say, "Yeah, I know, Marilee. Yeah, go away."
Oh gosh. I don't know. I just you know what's beautiful about the energy field, if we're going to be talking about that, is that there's no limit, right? Like, so it when they talk about your Taurus field and how it goes 6 feet out and blah blah. Okay, that's fine. But it's so much further than that. Like, it's infinite. It goes everywhere all the time. So this is how you pull things out of a hat. This is how I pulled you out of a hat. Literally, I feel that it just my energy just brought you right to the forefront of my life, and you are exactly what I need, and I had no idea. I had no idea. And this is how God works. Love.
So yeah, okay. So it is. So, but does the so your energy found my energy, I guess, in that context, right? There was something cohesive about the energies, the two energies.
It's attraction.
All right, that's the law of attraction. All right, that's basic between people, right?
Yeah, but again, it's energy. So the energy that you have and what I need together, it attracts, it comes together. So even though there's, you know, me, the physical, you, the physical, it's not about that. It's about energy. It's everywhere all the time. And so when you're aligned with love, it is like literally like a magnet picking up the things in our world and brings it to your life. That's what's so beautiful about it.
So let's say I'm a warehouse worker in Ogden, Utah. I'm working for Defense Ogden. And I'm in this huge warehouse, and it's men and women working there. And I see someone I find interesting, and it's a woman across the bay, or, you know, to the building. In other words, I'm fascinated by, I'm interested in a woman. Let's assume that we're both available. Okay.
Okay.
In that context. Now we're talking about energy here. We're talking about, you know, our body. Yes. We are always communicating with the universe, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking about the law of attraction.
Yes.
Now, so explain to me, or maybe it's not even explainable, but I mean, what happens? What's the cosmic influence between these two people in that warehouse at that point? Because they're looking at each other. You know, they saw each other.
If they're already looking at each other, that's just a physical attraction.
So that doesn't even count.
No, okay. Not really.
So what counts in this context is I'm driving to work and I get this epiphany of some sort that I'm going to have this wonderful, incredible day or whatever. Something good will happen and I bump into this woman. Yeah? Is that different? No?
No, not really.
Okay.
I mean, because these are everyday occurrences. I mean, really. We could meet anybody anytime on anything, whether the bus or the market or something like that. It doesn't mean that, there's a gift involved, you know, and there's a lot of people in our life that are in our life that are not necessarily a gift, but we know them. And there are things that we appreciate about them, most definitely. Some people have a lot of people that they don't necessarily like. And then they're nothing but drama and negativity, and they bring that person down. You know, they're in the wrong pool. And so you have to get yourself out of that pool. But when you start attracting people that you've never seen, you know what I mean? You've never met, but they're here. And I could even go so far as to say, are you really? Or were you manifest? Did you become to serve a purpose? I don't know.
That takes me back 60 years. Yeah. Okay. That's when I started drinking beer and shooting pools, when I had that very thing told to me.
Really?
Oh yeah. That's what Leslie Fiedler told me, and Harold Tasher. Yeah. You're not from here. Mm-hmm. You're not from here, John. You're from somewhere else.
Yeah.
That made me a career pool shooter and beer drinker.
Aw. Yeah, I mean, years ago, that could really mess you up. Right now, it's just, I think our mind and, you know, we're just so much, I don't know, more readily available to accept new information, even if we don't quite believe it yet, you know.
Yeah.
But we're open to it. It's like, well, what do you have to say? Because our world has changed, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, we were not talking about energy and, you know, subatomic particles and torus fields, you know, when I was a kid.
No, we were. That's true. I mean, it's well, some of the guys were, but not in my arena, probably not in yours either. I think that that that's, you know, one one good hit for science. It's that it is science that has brought us to a broader understanding. I don't think it's religion, it's science. Religion hasn't made our situation any broader. In fact, it's probably been regressive by comparison.
Right. I'd have to agree with that.
Yeah.
Yep. I
But
have
it's
to agree with
but
that
it but
because,
it's yep.
because religion's not talking about love.
No, it's not.
It's talking
Well, it
about the
gets us
love of
back to
God.
control. Yeah, it gets us back to control again, and it's about control, and love is the answer. Love always wins. And oh, yeah. I believe, well, I'm not going to say I believe. That's not fair. Not fair to say I believe it. I don't believe much of anything other than that you're real. I believe that you, I guess here's my question then. Will our environment outsize our capacity to think about it? I think it was Steiner that said depression is the inability to think about the future. We can think about the present and the past. We cannot think accurately about the future.
So, depression is the absence of hope.
Okay, it's kind of the same thing, I guess, isn't it? If you
I just
can't
simplified
think,
it.
if you can't think of... Oh, really? All right. So, if the absence of hope, as a researcher, then someone would want to, categorize all that hope. What isn't? Oh, yeah. I guess the future is a confabulation of the present. If you're sitting in your house, you can imagine your house tomorrow, even though you can't. You can extend it, your thinking out there. But if you're going to be evicted from your house on a certain date in the future, then that becomes depression because of the lack of hope, because of the lack of Because of what?
Because there's no control. Okay. There's no hope because you have lost control because you don't have the answer. Remember, happiness is having the answer. So if you don't have the answer to the eviction, which appears to be money, right? You just don't have it. You don't see how it's going to come. Then obviously the result is inevitable. And this is, down to the smallest thing, the lack of hope. Is just, it's an absence of answers.
Well, if you have lack of hope, then the absence of answers in this case, and it's inevitable. Do you have an obligation to yourself then, I guess, to stage for it, to be prepared for it, to walk away from it, to read your book and be happy with Mira Lee? I mean, that would be an obvious, remember what Mira Lee says about stuff like this, elevate yourself.
Well,
Think of what a help you'd be. The people that are in trouble.
okay, so I walked that path. I know what that's like. I know that, when I found out the truth about the mortgage industry, I was tested big time. There's the money side of walking in fear, and then there's the faith side saying, I don't know what's going to happen, but I have to stick to it. And God will get me through it. And so, yeah, I was evicted, and my kids, my dogs, everything, and they're ruthless. They're just so mean. And so, yeah, that hurt. But that whole time prior to that day, I knew what I was doing. I wasn't helpless. I wasn't hopeless. I was strong in my conviction. That material things don't matter. What mattered was the gift, and I wanted that. So whatever I had to endure in the moment, we were going to be okay on the other side because I completely had faith in God's promise. And yeah, we went through a lot of crap, a lot. And you know, Marie at the time was like, Marilee, how are you doing this? How are you doing this? It's too much already. And quite honestly, it just didn't faze me, you know, and she's witness to it. It just, I didn't care. I was just going from one thing to the next and loving my way through it. And
Were you
it's
being
just, I want
defiant? Weren't you? It sounds like you're being defiant.
against what?
Well, against whoever was on the other side of that dis situation.
You mean like the bank?
Well, yeah, or whatever it was, you were defying. You were standing in the face of. You were standing up in the face. I mean, of it. You know.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah, I mean, it's.
I went up against the devil. That's exactly right.
I mean, it's like, how do you steel yourself against the firing squad? You know? I guess you
God
just,
will get you through it.
God will get you through it. Well, yeah, there's no other option,
If you know what you're
frankly.
doing. If you know what you're doing. So there's blind faith, right? There's blind faith. And most people would not have the courage to go up and challenge what is right. They just won't. They'll just buckle and say, I have to do this. This is how the world works. Okay, fine. But I knew that there was another side. And so in doing that, I was just grateful for every single day when I don't know, I just got taken care of all of the time. I had exactly what I needed to do what I needed to do at the time. And then there was a shift, a major shift, and everything started happening at once, like a tidal wave. And I wouldn't be where I am today. I wouldn't have the things that I have. I wouldn't, I don't, I know I wouldn't know you, John. And you are my absolute gift, and I would not have you had I not made that decision years ago.
Well, you think those all that kind of stuff ties together? The
Oh,
decision,
100%.
huh? Wow.
100%. Every single time. Every single time I'm tested, is it love or money? Love or money? Like, you know, every time, let's say a money challenge came up, you have to understand, is it an opportunity? Or are you feeding someone else? You have to see what is helping you. Is this your opportunity? Don't be scared. Throw the money. Just throw it. Just get rid of it. Keep going. Keep going, and don't be afraid. And literally, these problems like just evaporate. They can't touch me. And that's the promise. God says, if you make the Most High your dwelling, I will command my angels. And I'm telling you, I mean, my whole, now I'm going to say my whole life because I don't know about that. But since I made an absolute conscious decision to choose love over everything all the time in the moment, I can see exactly the path that I've created. I have zero
So,
regrets.
I became a shiny gold coin in the bottom of the ocean that you were looked over the side of your boat, and there I was, huh? And I didn't even know I was there, and I didn't know you were there. Who knew that we were supposed to meet up? Who knew that? Some
Know if
power?
it would if I would say that you were the coin at the bottom.
Wasn't that wonderful?
It's not you're very wonderful. It's not no, because if there was a gold coin, I would recognize the gold coin and I would dive for it.
Okay.
And I would make sure that I didn't see that. I had no idea. I don't think either one of us knew what was about to happen between the two of us.
So who orchestrates that stuff then? This is cosmic energy? Who
Yeah.
orchestrates? That's what's going on.
That's right.
But
Love does that.
it sounds like you can't really achieve that unless you are free to do it. You have to
What do
allow
you mean?
yourself. Well, I mean, it's like if you're all cluttered up with stuff, you wouldn't recognize something good when you saw it. You'd be too hard. I mean, why were we open to meeting one another? We
No,
didn't,
we had no idea.
right? But so, but we did, and it worked. So who arranged that?
God,
That's God.
that's love. That's love energy at work, the creator.
Okay. But what did we do to position ourselves? Did we do anything to position ourselves to make that happen?
Well, your whole life, your whole history told in this book makes you qualified. You've said it millions of times to recognize who I am. I, the plan for my life in doing what I do, needed you. I didn't know that. I didn't consciously know that. God knows that. God understands the story already. It's already written. That's the beauty of it. If we all can just understand that the story is already written, we're just playing it out. But what happens is, because we've been given free will, we don't choose to follow the plan. We go our own way and we follow the world. And so sometimes, we don't make it to the end. We don't understand what our gift was. We never realized it, and we never found ourselves happy.
But is there predisposition in that kind of stuff? I mean, if it's predisposed to be, that takes a lot of control away from us. If we're like
No.
traveling through a gelatin block of events that never change.
No. No, it's still, we're looking at it from the left side. You know what I mean? The side of control. It's infinite possibility.
So,
Everything that God has planned for us is nothing but beneficial. It's good all of the time.
that's the case for quantum mechanics, is that you're making a case for
Right.
quantum mechanics, that the probabilities have to be infinite.
Yeah.
So the idea is that if our environment was a pool table and you were going to make the break, I had to be in all six pockets at the same time for this to work. That's superposition. That's a Schrodinger equation. Maybe you and I are all about mathematics, don't realize it.
But that's what the world is all about.
I know, but I'm trying to
The
simplify it. You
flower
see,
of life.
I'm trying to become Merrily here, and I can't get there.
The thing is, and this is what I was trying to stress on my show last night, talking about that gift. See, okay, to your point about how do we get there, it seems like there's just so cluttered and heavy with the daily.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's take it really down to something really, really small. Clutter. We have clutter because we don't want to deal with it because, it takes energy to organize it all. We don't know what we're going to do. And there's a million other things we got to do. If it's our closet, well, I might wear it again. I never wore it. I will wear it. I have good intentions for it. All this stuff just keeps hanging around and we can't make a decision to get rid of it. I don't need it. Just get rid of it. And that idea of freeing yourself from material things, right, that you don't need. Okay, there are things that you absolutely love and you treasure. That's different. But the things we don't need, don't be afraid to discard it. Open up the space.
Yeah, but
It starts there, though. It starts with stuff and then it goes to emotions.
all right. No, I believe that. I know it's true, and I believe it. The execution is difficult, which is, of course, what you're going to admit. The execution is very difficult. But once you get there, it's freeing.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you noticed this morning, but I sent you a picture of wearing a pair of 501 jeans
Yeah.
with
Yeah.
my feet up against the seat of my hall tree. Did you notice that the hall tree wasn't total clutter? It was just my feet and a shoulder
Did you
holster.
clean it off?
I did. Just one small step.
That's it.
One small step. Yeah. That's my first step toward believing that you've got the right answer, I guess. In that set, in that context of this conversation, in that context, yeah, I'm looking at it right now. I feel good about it. I can see it. It's nice. You know, it's not stacked with clothes.
Right.
There it is.
Exactly. And you know what it is? The physical world is our identity. We are attached to these things. Like, you know, we talk about our books, like we love our books, but we have more books than, well, at least for me, I have more books than I love.
Yeah, I do too.
Okay.
I love books in general, but yeah.
Right. Okay. But they're our identity because we love those things.
Mm-hmm.
And, but then there are things I can look around and go, why do you still have that? Why? Get rid of it. Sometimes it's just one thing. And just get rid of the one thing. You're just like, I don't know. It's like you overcame some kind of a control of having to, you know, keep it. Like, no, I can free myself. I don't need any of these things.
I think the people that were grew up during the Second World War became hoarders because everything was rationed. And so those people, maybe that's an outside force forcing them to hoard, to keep things. I remember in the main house right after the Second World War, I mean, we had, you know, made bins made for flour and, you know, things like that. And we ended up, you know, our everything became salt and pepper because the weevils were in everything. You're cooking weevils and bread at the same time. Like you thought you're eating pumpernickel bread, but they were dead bugs instead. It was just amazing how we got through all that. You know?
Exactly.
Turn the lights off at night because you can, the bombers might see your house, you know.
But see, that's, isn't it lifetimes ago?
Well, it is now. It wasn't
it
then.
Is now.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're going to fast forward to right now. Right now, when they talk about changing your timeline, you can do it right now. All you have to do is make a decision. And we're so stuck in what we think is true. You know, our environment. You know, what's being shown on the program that we can't get out. And it's so not true. Just turn the program off. Turn it off.
You know, mass distorts time and light and everything. I mean, mass, essentially gravity, the force of gravity distorts everything else. So light curves around mass, time curves around mass. It's like a bowling ball in a trampoline. The mass is the bowling ball. It distorts, and the trampoline is all is time and all that other stuff. It distorts it. So if your bowling ball becomes lighter, and lighter and lighter, then the distortion becomes less and less and less, to where if you finally lighten yourself in total, there's no distortion.
Sure.
In your environment.
Because the ball is so light that it doesn't make a dent in the trampoline.
That's right. So that's a storyline around what you're trying to get people to do is to lighten up their ball so they're not distorting their environment. So they're not twisting stuff. So stuff is not becoming... In other words, if photons are heading toward you and you're a heavy ball, the photons distort and wrap around you and essentially illuminate stuff behind you. But if you're a light ball, they go right through, they just, boom, go right past you. No distortion. Is that a better state? I mean, you're essentially saying that's a better state to be in.
It is a better state to be in. Because it's kind of like, remember with the truck? You're light.
Yeah, the truck that just about ran over you, and maybe it did, but nobody knew the difference, and neither did you. That's pretty light.
Right. Exactly. We are held down. We're just this heavy ball. And this is why we talk about elevating. But how do you elevate? You have to get lighter. How do you get lighter? You have to unload all of the junk we're carrying physically and physically, like around us in our environment and emotionally in our cells.
There's something about the truth will set you free. Is that just somebody's happy phrase, or is that really true?
No, it's true, but we don't understand it. If we don't understand it, it can't be true. The truth will set you free. Okay, well, we can apply that to a whole bunch of things in this world.
Yes,
But there's
we.
only one truth, and that's love. Love will set you free.
When you were
Do
talking
you...
to
Charlie?
Charlie yesterday, you were giving a definition of the difference between what do I mean when I say I love you, or when I'm in love with you. You're going back and forth between those two phrases,
Right.
and then there was one is the, and then it was when you've lost, when you lose your trust. It
Right.
changes. It changes how everything is.
Right.
So, when you say then, love, the meaning of love is to do no harm.
Right.
That's, I mean, that's the clearest, simplest.
Love is the absence of pain.
Love is the absence of pain.
And that is my definition.
No matter what happens, love is the absence of pain.
That's right.
All right.
So when we say, I love you, but I'm not in love with you, right? Literally, it's deep because first of all, the person doesn't understand what love is. But to say I'm not in love with you, it means that I can't trust you anymore. I just can't. I'm not in love with you. I can't give you my heart. I can't give you my adoration. I can't give you my respect. I don't want to cuddle with you. I don't want to hang out with you. I'm not in love with you.
Okay, so that's in love. In
Yeah.
love is all those things.
Yeah.
Is
It's
your is
that yeah, you're more enamored, let's say.
you'll be
It's
you're
like I'm
vulnerable to the situation completely because you trust it. Trust. Yeah.
trust,
Okay.
trust.
Right.
Right. So when I trust you, I literally feel that I can give you myself. I can give you whatever I hold dear. I can give you my body. I can give you my past. I can give you my future, my dreams. I trust you to hold all this stuff and I'm not going to get hurt. But the moment you hurt me and we don't know what we do to do that, then all of that gets sucked back in. And now I'm not in love with you anymore. So I don't want to make love to you. You know, I don't have anything to say to you. We don't have good conversations. We don't want to spend time together. We're just living around each other.
But you still love me in the context of
Well,
do no harm.
correct. But if I would say that most people never knew the definition of that. So it's easier to say, well, I do love you. Because I don't hate you. I'm just not in love with you.
Well,
I'm going to love you from afar.
isn't, I mean, that's just, isn't that about 50% of the human population at this point?
Right. Exactly. At least.
Yeah. So is there a cure for that?
Well, yeah, there's a cure for that. It's we need an education.
Comes out of brown cover, doesn't it?
Right. So the person who's hearing this, you know, I love you. I'm just not in love with you anymore. The person who is hearing this is looking at that person going, okay, but why? What changed? See, you don't know what changed because you don't have the awareness of what causes pain. You lost their trust.
Well, does that ever come back then?
Nope. It doesn't. So we can compromise, right? We can make a decision to not do anything about it, right? And basically live with each other and not purposely cause harm to each other. We can agree to that, but the in love part is gone.
But I mean, aren't you getting the field awfully narrow here? I mean, under the best circumstances, it's 50-50. All right.
But it's only
So,
because we weren't educated. That's why that there's that statistic.
all right. But it sounds to me like making the jump from I love you to I'm in love with you is almost a Sisyphean task. It's almost impossible.
Why?
Well, because it's there's so much that comes with it. One is let's have coffee and one is let's go to bed. There's a big difference there.
Yeah. And some people don't understand that it's a big difference. And so they go to coffee and then they end up in bed.
Okay, that's the reason for overpopulation, I guess. Yeah, all right.
You know, and they don't understand what happened. It was all so good. What happened? Right, that's where we get lost, and the jump from I love you to I'm in love with you. All right, I love you should be a standard. We should have that standard about ourselves to each one of us. When I
So,
come into view with you or anyone else, my idea is I love you. I'm not going to hurt you.
and that's the base point. That is the
Right.
foundational brick. That's brick number
Right.
one. It has to be there. That has to be in
Right.
position. So I don't trust you're right. Well, that's about trust. If I so I hate you is a whole different brick. That's someplace else. That makes the enemy out of you. Right? That's the
Yeah,
harm. If
when
someone tries to harm you, then you really can't say, I love you. Or can you?
yes, you can.
You
You
can.
absolutely can.
Why would you
Because
bother to
I
do that? I mean, I.
no, it's not about saying it. It's about holding your honor, who you are. This is who I am. I've committed to cause no harm to anyone. So when you try to hurt me, right, I'm not going to retaliate. I can say I love you. And mean it because I understand what it means to hurt people.
Didn't it make you a pacifist instead of a productive citizen?
No, because in my ability to love, okay, not this person who's trying to cause me harm, but to love, I'm in the right side of the room. So all these magical things are happening to me in the meantime.
Yeah, but you keep throwing retribution out with the bathwater. I mean, how can I get back at a guy? How can I get back at someone? I guess I'm not supposed to, huh?
No,
How do I get my draw my line in the sand, protect my territory?
well, you know what they say, success is the best revenge.
Yeah, somebody said that, I suppose. But if you've got success, you don't have time to even think about revenge.
Right.
So I guess that's the whole idea, huh?
Right. That's why the lion doesn't pay any attention to the sheep. We don't have time for that. You know, I know for a fact that the energy that that person is putting out toward me is going to be mirrored back to them in ways that they don't see coming. And they will never know. They won't put the two and two together. But that consequence is already written and it's coming. And so people go, well, I don't understand why I can't get a break. You know, why is it always me? Why am I always in trouble? Why you don't understand my problems? It's like, no, you are your problem. You are your greatest problem. And you don't see it. And, you know, and unless we want to keep making excuses and blaming everyone else, you know, for our situation or something, you're not going to get out. Blame is not the way. You gotta love harder.
All right.
Right?
Okay. Next.
How did we get here? Any way you slice it, any way you slice it, love is the answer. I'm gonna bring you right back to that because if we know how to navigate. You know, like you do when you are, you know, sailing this yacht or whatever, you know what to do. When you know what to do when it comes to love, then you can navigate any rough sea, anything at all.
Yeah,
Doesn't
but if
matter.
I've got an incompetent crew member, I'm putting him off on the nearest rock and don't think twice about it because he's putting
Okay.
me in jeopardy.
But okay, exactly. So if you understand that, then that's we can extrapolate and put it back over here with all these people in our life who are who fit that description. You are going to put me in jeopardy. You are a huge risk to my life. I can't afford you because you don't know what you're doing. You got to get rid of that person. And this is where business comes in. So we're moving it from just friendship and romance and all into business. Now we understand that the moment you recognize that risk, you've got to eliminate that person or reduce their responsibility. You have to understand their capacity.
And that sounds to me like that plays out in every circumstance on
Everything.
your positioning, because it's be it love or money or whatever it is, you've got to get rid of the slag right away. Whatever is jeopardizing your position, whatever that is, assuming your position
Right.
is good, then that's the answer. But if you're, I guess, if you're a member of the American Crime Syndicate, and you're practicing the same thing, you're doing it for all the wrong reasons. That puts you in the left room indefinitely. You'll never get out of that. How do you know what is, yeah, what does
You're
Lucky
serving that
Luciano
world.
do? Yeah, so that's what he's at, huh? Yeah, I get it. Okay, I get
Right.
it.
So where is that happiness? That's why, like with police officers, they may go in for the right reason, to protect, right? They may. But, they see the worst parts of life and they get hardened. And so now it becomes us against them and their policy enforcers. And the humanity aspect of it is lost.
Is that their fault?
It's no, it's just a byproduct of that world.
So they're effectively protecting themselves emotionally and physically. You know, when an officer
Yeah.
pulls over a car and walks up, puts his hand on the taillight automatically before he asks someone to, roll down the rear window to look forward, he's looking for a gun, he's looking for a weapon, that's what he's looking for. You know. When you're in the face of extreme danger, you're really heightened. There's all sorts of stuff going on in your brain.
Sure. Right. And we need to eliminate that world.
I sat last night for better part of an hour. I mean, better part 2 hours actually, and watched two men scream at one another, scream at one another, just screaming, shouting. Flexing their personalities and their muscles to on a territorial fight. And I was thinking, I was not sure if I was thinking about you necessarily, but I was thinking about, I guess I was thinking about you in context of what's going on with these guys. You know, what are they doing
Right.
wrong? I mean, they were doing everything wrong, everything wrong. And I'm saying there is, whether it's a case of racketeering or arson, and I'm not a cop. I mean, I carry a federal badge, but that's a whole different thing. That's because I was appointed. But I'm appointed under very narrow circumstances to look for racketeering in business, to identify racketeering and point it out. And racketeering is really interesting. And of course, arson is simply just burn the building down. But I was in that case last night, where I didn't see any hope for anything. I mean, it was just out of control, totally out of control. And so I guess you just have to let that spin out, huh? I mean, you just,
Well, you got two egos going round and round.
yeah.
That's it. And as long as we're going to live in our ego, that's what we're going to experience. That. I don't think
So,
anybody wants that.
as an observer, where am I in that? Let's say this is a triangle, all right? Two men and an observer. I'm an observer. They don't know I'm an observer. They suspect maybe I am, but they're not clear. Doesn't stop them though. So what do I have any? Yeah, so
So you go back to the game.
So I just
Okay.
walk up to him, give him a copy of the game, so this guy should read this. Yeah, you're abusing my time. You should read this book. Call me later.
Well, to your point, you're a spectator. Okay, so the spectator lost the trust of these two guys because these two guys are completely in their ego, fighting over whatever it is. Okay, so obviously neither one is to be trusted. So they don't know that they lost your trust. And it's not your game. Now, as a police officer, you have to intervene. Right? So when you intervene, you pick one and the board switches between you and the one you chose. And the other guy becomes a spectator. So you're never ganged up on. And you got to keep that clear. You're never ganged up on by two. It's always one. Stay focused.
That's pretty clear in the game, isn't it?
Oh
In the
yeah.
book, yeah.
Yes. And I've used that many times in many different circumstances where I've had to disarm everyone. So
You can make my life a lot easier.
that's the thing. We think that love is all airy fairy and who's got time for it and I wish I was happier in my marriage type of thing. And that's just so it's scratching the surface. It's love is so powerful. If you know, it's literally once you understand it, it's pulling the sword from the stone.
It's the ultimate tool, isn't it? It's
Yes, it
it
is.
really is. It's everything that King Arthur's been looking for.
That's right.
Yeah. Of
That's
course,
right, because it'll solve anything.
he's an invention, so maybe that's just starts it too. I don't know. I thank you for this hour. It was wonderful. I am on the road again.
Okay.
So I'll call you later, or we'll talk later. I've got some things
Yes.
so we'll talk again. But yes. So really, Charlie, thank you for the shout outs yesterday to both of us.
Yes.
Thank you. That was
Really
wonderful.
Charlie. Really Charlie podcast. He's here on Spotify
Yeah.
and Instagram and Facebook. And yeah, you can track him down somewhere, somehow, listen to his stuff. And he writes beautiful poetry and he's got a poetry book. I know he was asking about the awards or the publishing or something like that. It just
I,
stick to love, Charlie.
yeah, I think he, yeah, I think he's gonna, I think he's gonna republish some of his books because he didn't, he, I don't think
Yeah.
he was treated properly. And that's good for him, you know, get it
Yeah,
right.
like so many of us.
Take charge.
Okay.
Yeah.
All
All right.
right.
I
All
love
right.
you.
Go do your thing. I
I
love
love
you
you.
too. I'll see you.
Okay.
Bye.